Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to Psalm 138. 138, just want to read a couple of verses and then we're going to the book of Nehemiah. Stand with me if you would. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Father, we come to you this morning. And God, we know that we need you. And we know the only way we can understand who you are and get a grasp on what you're all about is through the word of God. We read in this psalm, David said, you said, and David proclaimed it, that you have magnified the word before and above your name. That's an awesome thought, because Jesus, we know you're everything. And yet you gave us the word of God so we would know that and know you. So God, I pray this morning through this message, we would determine to be real people of the book, people of the Bible. It's going to be an elemental message in a lot of ways, but going to lay a great groundwork for next week. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive to the word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Here's a statement you need to hear and understand. Were it not for the book, we would not know the Son. Were it not for the book, we would not know the Son of God. It is God's eternal word, and it manifests God the Son, Jesus Christ. Understand this. We have got to be, this is what will differentiate us from every other group of people, every people group in the world today, is if we will determine to be people of the book. I say old time religion. I say New Testament fundamentalist. I say absolute biblicist. I say Bible centric. If it's not in the Bible, it may not be true. If it is in the Bible, it is absolutely true. And it will never change. Take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah and chapter 1. Nehemiah and chapter 1. In the 1700s and into the 1800s, in England, there was a great departure from the faith. The Baptist peoples were divided. The Congregationalists, all the other Bible groups, they had lost their way and lost their power. I don't know why we are so prone to wander, but we are. And it just seems, fundamentally it's been something different, an anomaly here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for the 30 and 40 years this has been going on right now. Because it's like we've kept our zeal. It's like we've stayed on fire. Dr. Flanders referred to it as a perpetual revival seems to be going on in the hearts of God's people. I would love to be able to tell you everybody knows what that is, but not everybody does. And again, we are all prone to wander, every single one of us. In England, in the empire, the churches had lost their way. The New Park Baptist Church was just the shell of its former glory. And they called a young preacher who had not yet been to seminary and graduated, by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was different. He refused to be called reverend. He did not wear a black clerical frock. He was in the midst of churches that were closing their doors, members that were rich and yet absentee, upholstered pews. During that time, he called upon God in humility, asked to be used of God, built what was called the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Later on, we refer to it as Spurgeon's Tabernacle. Seated 6,000 people and filled up twice on Sundays. Listen to this. 80% of the congregation tithed. 80%. Were those people really Baptists? I sometimes wonder. 80%. And he made this statement. He said, and he fought battles. He fought what was called the downgrade. It was happening in the churches. It's happening in the churches in the United States of America, where people are drifting further, groups drifting further and further away from God and closer to the world. Therefore, the power of God is lifted off them, and they're a step away from the death rattle and Ichabod being written over the church doors. It's not new. You say it's the last days. It was the last days in Spurgeon's day as well. And he referred to it as the downgrade. The group of Baptists that he was part of was called the Baptist Union. It had turned denominational. And he left that with many tears and became what really the first independent Baptist as far as in name. And God greatly blessed that church. And I would tell you this morning, there's more than a downgrade going on in the United States of America. There's complete apostasy. And it's at every level. And there are churches that are on the way and churches that are just incrementally leading that way. But a watchman stays on the tower and a man fills the gap. Every church is prone to do that and experience that. And here's what it comes down to. Spurgeon said this. He said, if I can get my people to read their Bible every day, my ministry will have been a success. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a biblicist. It was all about the Bible. Because the Bible is all about manifesting Jesus Christ. We know the Bible says, Jesus said, if I be exalted, I'll draw all men unto me. How do we do that? Bible preaching, Bible teaching, Bible studies, Bible reading. I'm all for Bible studies. Some churches are neglecting the evening service and neglecting Wednesday night in order to have small group Bible studies. And I like the way Josh said it. My son pointed this out about a year ago. I said, man, nothing could be further from the truth. That's absolute truth, rather. And he said, Bible studies, that's what we do for Sunday school. We call it Sunday school. People are hearing and studying and reading the Bible verse by verse. Well, let's not just do it on Sunday morning. Let's do it every day of the week. Let's get people relationship discipleship. You're going to hear about that next Sunday night. Let's get people involved in discipling other people after we get those people born again. Here it is. Jesus every day. First thing is Bible reading. I'm calling Fundamental Baptist Church. We haven't left it. We haven't neglected it. Maybe on a personal level some we have. I'm calling you back to the Bible. I'm calling you back to the Word of God. Some have listened to the world and found teachers having itching ears and are kind of plugging into the world and adding the word Jesus. I ain't going to get it done. Dr. Jim Norton said this, and I've never forgotten it. Your relationship to the Bible is your relationship to Jesus Christ. Amen. It is. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah in chapter 1. We are to be a Bible people. The words of Nehemiah, I'll just read three verses here, and then we're going to chapter 7. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that's the winter palace of the Persians, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Today, church people are struggling, straying. They're stranded. Other sheep are hungry, and they're hopeless. And they're trying to fill a void with with concerts. They're trying to fill a void with drugs. They're trying to fill a void with artificial stimulants or fellowship. Fellowship's good. Music's good. The right kind of music, it's good. But it does not replace the Word of God. The church is not only a place to go, it's a fellowship of the blessed. It's a brotherhood of soldiers. It's the family of God. Brothers and sisters, it's givers, not takers. It's people with a great purpose. It is called the Great Commission. Next week, the walls are broken down. The gates are burned. God's work as a whole is a reproach. And it's on display before the entire world. Let me read three verses. And you can turn to chapter 7, and we'll begin right there. Chapter 4 and verse 6 says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Well, I won't give you any background other than this. Nehemiah, called of God to return to the land, to be the leader, ends up being the governor, and they're going to rebuild the walls. Because the work of God is a reproach to the Gentile nations, to the heathen people, no testimony, none whatsoever. And the people, he gathered the people together, and it was a struggle. And there were many, many mountains and battles that had to be fought, and some of them emotional, some of them spiritual, and some of them physical. And they actually had to fight their way as they rebuilt the walls. But the people had a mind to work. Chapter 6 and verse 15 says, So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. That's a great work. Chapter 6 and verse 16, and it came to pass, all our enemies heard thereof. You know, if revival ever comes to the church of Jesus Christ, the world's going to know about it. They're going to hear about it. Jesus is going to be the talk of the town. He'll be the talk at Walmart and Meijer and every other business place and every restaurant and every coffee shop. He'll be the talk in households. They'll be exalting Jesus. It says, and all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, and they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Oh, that the heathen round about Fundamental Baptist Church, and I don't say that in a harsh way, the unsaved people that maybe don't know any better, and those that are actual enemies, and that's what Nehemiah was referring to here, that they would see the work of God, and they would understand that what's going on here is wrought or work of God. That it would be a work of God. Chapter 7, if you'd go there, if you're not already there. I'm sorry, go to chapter 8. I'm going to preach later on in chapter 7. Not this morning. I read a humorous story this week that I think I read before. I know I did because it was in my notes. I got notes where I keep kind of, you know, thoughts and illustrations and that kind of thing. It was about a little boy named Alex in the church foyer, 7 years old, not really wise to this world. And he's looking up at the wall, and there's a whole bunch of flags and a whole bunch of names on bronze plates. And he's looking in wide-eyed wonder like a little boy. And the preacher walked up to him. And Alex saw it was a preacher. He said, "Preacher, what is this?" He said, "Those are the names of the men and women that have died in the service." And a little boy, a tear ran down his cheek. And he said, "Was it the morning service or the evening service?" And that's the way a lot of churches are. And I don't want Fundamental Baptist Church to ever be that way. Man, we want the breath of heaven. We want to be alive for God. May it never happen. Oh man, there's Pastor Rader again. You know what? If that you ever feel that way, I'm telling you, you're out of touch with heaven. You're out of touch with God. Even if all I could do was stand up and read John 3:16, man, if that's all it was, and that was as good a preaching as I could do, and that would not be much. Although a lot of people would be happy with a message that's that short. You know, you ought to be able to say amen. You ought to touch heaven. Heaven, I'll reach down and fill your soul. In the book of Nehemiah and chapter 7, we read of a Bible people here this morning. And I just simply want to make this point this morning. And I'm going to try to drive it home. And I'll try not to belabor it, not any length of time. We have got to be a Bible people. Look at verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Now, this is pretty exciting stuff. The walls are rebuilt. Man, they're back in the city. This is the remnant, and others are returning. And all of a sudden, man, it's a work of God. God is in this. They're rejoicing. They got all their ducks in a row. Everything is right. But as they gather together, they understand something's missing. Something's missing. Verse 1 again. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Something was missing. It was the word of God. They had not heard the word of God for some of them ever. And they were hungering for the word of God. You know, the word of God is missing in a lot of churches. It's missing, let's bring it down a little closer to that. It's missing in a lot of people's lives. Yep. You know, we carry the book and we preach about the book and we talk about the book, but we're not really getting in the book. And I confess this message, although it's going to be chapter 8, and it is in the book, it's not going to go real deep. But if I could challenge you to be a person of the book, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because we rightly divide the word of truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We get in the book and we get the Bible all over us. So here they are. The streets are filled. They built a pulpit. Ezra walks up on the pulpit. Man, I like it. They're Baptist people. Oh, even way back then. All right. He walks up to the pulpit. They bring out the book. They want to hear the word of God. Everybody is important. Verse 2, Ezra the priest, that's leadership. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday before the men and the women. That is the fellowship. So it's the leadership and the fellowship. Verse 4, everybody is important. Verse 1, everybody has an appointed job. Everybody has his place. We read that later on in this chapter. Everybody belongs. Chapter 5, they've gathered together. You need to be in church. It really isn't optional. I love live stream. I love our people. I love the fact that shut-ins and those that are hurting and those that are traveling are still able, those outside the area that are still able to tune in to Fundamental Baptist Church. And we literally, there were hundreds watching last week between YouTube and Facebook. You check the numbers. By the end of the week, hundreds. And some go to other churches and they still tune in during the week. I'm glad for that. But live stream does not replace gathering together, being that called out assembly, gathering together and worshiping. Because we all know this to be true. It's not the same as being there. And God bless it. God bless you if that's all you have. But it's just not the same as being there. Dr. Lee Roberts, when you say 3 to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, don't miss it. 3 to Thrive built a great church for the glory of God. They were Bible people. Let me read again verse 2. Ezra the high and the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So here they are, first day of the week, and they're hearing with understanding. That is Bible preaching. That is exegeting the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you know the verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 speaks of a famine of hearing the word of God. There are many people today, even though they claim to be people of the book, are not. They're not. They never crack the book. They never study. There's no notes in their Bible because they really don't study. They get spoon-fed, and bless your heart, man, being spoon-fed cliches is not a Bible study. Being spoon-fed some slick sermonette on how to help yourself, man, that isn't what all that's in the Bible. That's what you hear in a lot of pulpits. But there needs to be preaching against sin. There needs to be preaching that adultery is still wrong, that perversion is still wrong, that using the name of the Lord in vain is wrong. And those kinds of words should never once be spoken, heard from the mouth of a child of God, one that is saved by grace. There needs to be preaching today that reverence is right, that honoring God and bringing in worship, that is right, that there's a wrong kind of music as well as a right kind of music. And we're to avoid the all appearance of evil. Man, they need to hear that alcohol is wrong. They need to hear that all the things that the world has to offer and the devil has to offer, they're temporary, all they are, and they kind of dumb you down, and it's a continued downgrade that is going on. There were Bible people in Jerusalem hungry for the word of God, hearing the word of God. They were attentive, and they understood that it was God's book, not some slick, alliterated self-help message. What that old preacher said, my old man, when I was early 70s, in the early 70s when I heard him preach, it's let's see, some preacherette preaching a sermonette to Christianettes so they could still go out and enjoy their cigarettes. You know, you never really get down to where it's at. You never really get down to the brass tacks. And I want you to know this. If you'll open your Bible and you'll study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will hit you right between the eyes. If you're truly born again, you're truly a child of God, He'll feed your spirit. Man, that soul will be pushed down. The old nature will be put down. He'll feed your spirit, and you'll be able to do great things for God. Something's missing. It's the Bible. I want to call your attention to the Bible. I want to call Fundamental Baptist Church every single member to get to reading their Bible every day in April and May. Just giving God at least that 10 minutes, that minimal 10 minutes, and allow him to build you in the faith. Something else they had was that's missing today, is a Bible reverence. Verse 3 says, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. It says in verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This wasn't phony. This was real worship. These were people that loved and respected the Word of God. They loved this book, and they honored the book. When the book was read, they stood to their feet. They said amen as it was being preached, as it was being understood. They were hearing the Word of God. We won't go that far this morning. But you know, at the end of this chapter, revival breaks out. It ends up being an 8-day revival. And they read that their forefathers before them, after leaving the land of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, they made booths. And they remembered redemption. And they went out into the woods and they cut down branches. And they came back and they made booths. And they rejoiced in the presence of God. They not only heard the Word of God, they responded to the Word of God. They reverenced the Word of God. They understood in their mind, the Bible is so important. Now, we call ourselves Baptists. Baptist people have historically been people of the book. It's not like we're the only people of the book. I don't think that for a minute. But you read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you read the majority of martyrs, these were people that were called Baptists and Anabaptists, and they stood out for God, and you know, they were Baptists before the word Baptist even took place, you know, even was identified with a group. These are just simple, they were Bible people. They were people of the book. That's what we need to be here. You need to make a decision this morning, you're gonna read your Bible every day. You need to make a decision this morning, you're gonna allow God to feed your spirit and strengthen your being every single day. Being spoon-fed a few sermons three times a week, that's never going to be enough. And one doesn't replace the other. Preaching is important. Preaching is real important. It's through preaching that God manifests his son. We read that in the book of Titus. God has ordained preaching. You say, what's the difference between preaching and Bible study? Preaching is Bible study with unction, and a God called man, and God prepared people, and he gives it to them. The Holy Spirit, it's like the difference between a 50 caliber gun and a 22. I mean, God just does something special in preaching. I don't know why, but God has ordained preaching. In between the time, I'm going to be a student of the book. I could not number for you how many times I'm all alone reading my Bible, and an explosion goes off in that study or at my house. And all of a sudden, man, I got to pull the car over to the side of the road because God just unloaded a piece of heaven on my lap. Man, it's good. It's better felt than telt. And he enlightens me and gives me a truth that maybe isn't even brand new, but maybe new to me, or maybe it isn't even new to me, but I've forgotten. And man, just like, pow, there it is. God, that's just what I needed. Oh, God, thank you. Or later on the day, something happens. God prepared me for this. I know what to say. I read it this morning. God is leading in my life. That brings glory to God. Bible reverence, Bible respect, Bible exposition. They exegeted, they gave distinction to the Word of God. Verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, preached it in context, and caused them to understand the reading. Then there was Bible impact, verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They loved the book. When's the last time a teardrop has touched the pages of your Bible? Some of our forefathers, that was a pretty regular occurrence. It might get tough enough in America before Jesus comes. That'll take place in your house too. It says there was great joy in verse 10. Verse 12 again says, great mirth, because they understood the words that were declared unto them. Bible exposition, Holy Spirit teaching, God's, not his ideas, his very words, verbal, plenary, that means not thoughts, very words, verbal, plenary, inspiration, God-breathed book, inspiration of Scripture. Those are terms you don't hear a lot in church anymore. Some of you are old enough, you used to hear it all the time. Verbal, plenary, inspiration of God. That means we got the book.
That's right.
That means not thoughts, but the very word of God. God is good to us. When the people in the land, in the city of Jerusalem, heard the preaching and the reading of God's word, and the preachers, the expositors, gave sense to the Scripture, they wept for joy. They had to be told, hey, dry those tears. This is a time of great, great joy. And their weeping turned to joy. And then they responded with reverence and respect, and they changed their lives. And the result was revival. That's a whole lot of ours, isn't it? That's all right here in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8. I want to say one more thing, and I want to say something about this. Listen to this statement. This is a fact. The devil is playing the long game. That's like the good football coach that will take two series of downs to set up the big play. And the defense gets sucked in and thinks we got them all figured out. And they're giving up some yards in order to score that touchdown. The devil is playing the long game. He's willing to give you a few things as long as he gets you in the end, or gets your children in the end. Everyday Jesus. Jesus every day in April and May. I want you to remember this banner. You're going to see it for about 6-7 weeks. We take it down for graduation. We'll take it down for the revival meeting. But other than that, you're going to see this. And every time you see it, I want you to think, number one, what a brilliant pastor you have, and how eloquent he is to come up with this. And it did. It took me 2 weeks to figure this out. How can I say Jesus every day in April and May? How can I say that? Jesus, and it just hit me. Jesus every day in April and May. It rhymes. There it is. Okay. So Jesus every day in April and May. That's almost like exegeting scripture right there. All right. I'm kind of helping you. Jesus every day. That's a joke. Every day in April and May. Here's how. Bible reading. 10 minutes. That's minimal. If you read 10 minutes a day and that's all you read, I can identify you as a weaker Christian, but you're going to grow. All right. 10 minutes a day. I'm asking you to make a commitment to God. 10 minutes every day, I'm going to read my Bible. Might be in the morning. I recommend the morning. Might be at lunchtime, might be before you go to bed, but I recommend morning, all right? 10 minutes every day. Prayer, another sermon, all right? And that's 5 minutes. You say, 5 minutes, I can pray 5 minutes. You know most Christians don't pray 5 minutes. Most Christians, I'd say the majority of this crowd doesn't come close to praying 5 minutes every day. Prayer's hard work. Prayer, battles are done on your knees. It's not just kind of going through a wish list. You're praying. If I can get you to pray 5 minutes a day, man, that would be great. All right? So 10 minutes Bible reading, 5 minutes prayer, and then hand out one gospel tract every day. One gospel tract a day. It is a pitiful Christian that cannot hand out one gospel tract a day unless you're sick in bed, unless you're bedridden. And then I think if you pray, God will bring somebody to you. I really do. One a day. All you need is one track. You can put one track on your person in the morning, and you can just look for that person during the day and hand out one gospel track. You might start out by putting it on somebody's coffee table or on somebody's windshield or something like that, but you'll find a way to hand out one gospel track a day. Listen, this is going to prepare us for the great days we have ahead of us, and we have some big days. Stay tuned next Sunday night, all right? But Jesus every day in April and May.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.